All right, thank you everyone for coming. 15 minutes of Parsha. Hopefully we'll be able to share something interesting and leave you with something to think about. Parsha's Matos Masse, it's the longest, not to discourage anyone from coming to shul, but longest Torah reading of the year. But there's a lot of interesting things that happen as well. I want to firstly just dedicate tonight's learning Le'ilei Nishmas, the memory of Yonim Eliezer Meir ben Yehoshua, a young man who tragically lost his life this week. So our our learning should be a merit for his soul and for his whole family. I titled this year something like, I mentioned the topic in the WhatsApp group at least, and I called it something like Moshe's Final Mission. It's interesting because it's the end of the book of Shmos. So there's a whole other book to go. We still have Devarim, which is a really important and beautiful book. But Devarim, for the most part, is Moshe's final speech, his final words to the Jewish people before he passes away. The book begins, Ela HaDevarim Asher Diber Moshe Kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all the Jewish people. And then at the very end of the Sefer, he dies. So really, the end of Sefer Shmos is really the end of the action of Moshe's life. The last of the five books of the Torah is Moshe's speech. So I call this Moshe's final mission because in this week's Parsha, or Parshios, we learn about the last thing Moshe does, other than speak and teach, which is, of course, the essence of who he is, Moshe, our teacher. So I'm not trying to minimize, but there's something important that happens this week as well. And I also mention that because the Pasuk seems to somehow reference that something that happens in this week's Parsha is sort of Moshe's final mission, as if like he couldn't die, it wouldn't be time yet, he wouldn't be able to, Hashem wouldn't let it happen until this final thing happened. Which sounds like a big deal. It's like if I were to ask you, or I will ask you, what would it be that you know Moshe had to wait for, or that Hashem had to wait for Moshe to accomplish until he until it was time, until you know what was this last mission that he had to do? Obviously, maybe we would have guessed, take the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, but that wasn't meant to be. Moshe didn't lead us into Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't bring us the Torah because he had, we received the Torah almost 40 years ago, 39 plus years ago. So what was it that, what was the last thing Moshe had to do? The last thing on his to-do list before his life was up. So there's a hint to it. It's in Parshas Matos. Again, this week's Parsha. Chapter 31, verse. I'll start from verse 1, but you'll hear it soon. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. God speaks to Moshe, saying, "Nikom nikmas bnei Yisrael me'es hamidyanim." You should take revenge. The Jewish people must take revenge. That's already a heavy word and a difficult concept. Take revenge on the Midianim, on the Midianites. Achar teyasef el amecha. And Hashem says to Moshe, after that, you can be gathered unto your people. Which really means that's the phrase and expression that's used to mean you should, after that, you can pass on. Doesn't mean the second that the battle was over, he died. Again, there was still more teaching and more speaking, but there seems to be some direct connection from A to B. It's in the very same Pasuk. And that's what the Ramban and others point out, that the Pasuk seems to imply that Moshe's final mission, the last thing on his to-do list, was take revenge upon the Midyanim, and then, and only then, Teyasef Elamecha, then you can die. And the question I want to think about tonight is, why was it so important that Moshe be a part of this battle against the Midyanim? There were many battles ahead. I mean, we were, hopefully we'll get back to it one day soon, but we were in the middle, a group of us, of learning Sefer Yehoshua. Every chapter is a new battle. Yeah, and Yehoshua was a quite a good leader. David HaMelech in future years was a great military leader. So we could have defeated the Midianim. We could have contended with the Midianim led by Yehoshua or somebody else. Why was it specifically the battle against Midian also that Moshe had to lead himself, and that had to be done before he passed on? And also this concept of revenge. Nikom nikmas ha-midyanim. Take vengeance upon the Midyanim. Sometimes I think maybe particularly with our modern sensibilities, doesn't always sit right. I struggle with it sometimes too, the concept of revenge. Obviously we want to be successful, we want to protect ourselves. In wars, we want to be victorious. But why is it framed within the context of Nikom Nikmas? You should take revenge upon the Midianim. These are big questions, and I'm not sure why I'm asking them so big when I said that we would be learning for 15 minutes. But I'm going to try to at least give you a little bit to think about. I'm not promising full or complete answers to any of these, or perfect answers, certainly. But I'll share with you a couple of ideas. Maybe one or two will resonate with you, and it'll give you something to think about over Shabbos. I want to share with you two, or really sort of three answers. One or two answers from the Ramban, one of the great Rishonim, the early commentaries on the Chumash, and then one answer from the Nitziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, one of the later commentaries from just about 150 years ago or so. Different approaches to understanding this connection between Moshe leading the mission of revenge against the Midianim, and specifically that being, his, sort of his final mission, or something that he needed to accomplish. Specifically he, Moshe, before his time was up. So I'm going to share my screen with you and read a little bit of it inside. So you don't have to trust me. You can actually see it in the words. Oops, I forgot to write who this is. This is the Ramban. Let's see. We'll just take it one at a time. I'm going to read Ramban's explanations and then we'll work our way towards the Nitziv. Here's what the Ramban says. Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael. The Bnei Israel should take revenge upon the Midianim. Achar te'aseif alamecha. By the way, let's remind ourselves to review. Maybe we remember from a few weeks ago. Who were the Midianim and what did they do? We know the Midianim well from the beginning of Parshas Balak, because they teamed up with the Moabites to try and destroy the Jewish people. In fact, Rashi taught us that the Midianim and the Moabites didn't even get along. They weren't allies. They teamed up only for the sake of destroying the Jewish people. Not the first time, and not the last time that we've seen our enemies, who themselves are enemies, but the one thing that they can unite about is let's get together and fight the Jews. So that's what the Midianim and the Moavim did. First, they tried with Bilam, they tried to spiritually attack us through Bilam's cursing. Obviously, that didn't work. That's the story of most of Parshas Balak. At the end of Parshas Balak, they decide instead of trying the spiritual way, let's do the old-fashioned physical way. And they send out the young women to seduce and entice the Jewish men. And once they get them involved in that kind of lustful activity, then they also convince them to do Avodah Zarah. And that works quite well. I mean, terribly for us, but it's successful. The Jewish men, succumb and give in. They join the women and they do Avodah Zarah. And there's a plague. And of course, that's what led to Parshas Pinchas and Pinchas's radical reaction to this whole story. So the Midianim, last time we saw them, they did quite a bit of damage. They tried very hard. They tried multiple ways, and ultimately they weren't successful in destroying us, but they were successful in committing a good amount of damage, physically and spiritually, to the Jewish people. And it's that act that we're avenging now, as we go to battle to hopefully to stand up for ourselves. So the Ramban says, "Nigzar al Moshe Rabbeinu." It was decreed upon Moshe that he could not cross the Jordan. He already knows that. He's been reminded of it. He's not going to enter the land of Israel. He's not going to cross the Jordan. But, sometimes that's like, let's sometimes if somebody, let's say a company decides that they're not going to, there's some high-level manager and they decide they're not going to, this is his last year. So sometimes someone's attitude might be, listen, I'm done here anyway. I don't feel as invested in the company. Maybe I'll just leave now, or even if I'm here, maybe I'm not going to, am I going to continue to work as hard as I have in the past, knowing that my time is limited. The Ramban is saying that the Torah is emphasizing that Moshe, even though he knew he wasn't going to lead us into Eretz Yisrael, he didn't relax for a second. He took it upon himself to fulfill everything he possibly could, even on the west, on the eastern side of the Jordan. Natzach, for example, Natzach Shnei Malchei HaAmori HaGdolim, he fought against Sihon and Og, he led those battles. He's 120 years old, by the way. He could have said, I've done a lot, I've done enough. I'm not taking them into Eretz Yisrael anyway. Maybe now Yoshua should just take over now. That wasn't Moshe's attitude at all, the Ramban says. Moshe led us in the battle against Sihon and Og. He divided up the land on the eastern side. We know there were 2.5 tribes who stayed there. He was involved in that. He was involved in setting up the cities of refuge, the Ari Miklat on the eastern side of the Jordan. It was appropriate, therefore, that Moshe should finish the job with the Midianim too. In other words, the message the Ramban says that the Torah is teaching us is that Moshe, although sadly, tragically perhaps, he was banned from entering the land of Israel, and we know he begged to be able to be let in, and the answer was no. Nonetheless, he didn't stop leading Bnei Israel 100% and doing everything he possibly could on the eastern side of the Jordan. And that included, listen, we have this hanging issue of Midian. They attacked us. They really harmed us. And we have to deal with this threat. And we have to fight back. And Moshe said, I'm not going to leave that for someone else to do. I'm going to do every single thing I possibly can to set Bnei Israel up for success, to be able to enter the land led by Yoshua. Even though I won't be able to lead them in, I want to do everything I can in advance and in preparation of that. That's answer number one. The Ramban adds, and I call this sort of 1B or maybe a second answer, but he says, V'od, Shechalak lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavod. This was a form of Hashem granting honor to Moshe. V'yira v'yismach tzadik ki chazan akam. That's a complicated concept that I would like to discuss in more depth another time. I'm not going to try to discuss a very complicated philosophical topic in just a few minutes, but the Ramban is saying that a tzaddik will feel joy when he sees deserved revenge. Again, it's a little bit unsettling sometimes thinking about it like that. But if you think about it, I think the way some of the commentaries explain is that there's a certain, we're all bothered by, we're all pained when we see things in the world that seem unfair to us. When it seems like things are unjust, when it seems like righteous people are suffering and wicked people are thriving. So there is a certain joy or a satisfaction in seeing things righted. And not because we're ever, bloodthirsty or angry or wish harm upon other people, but we do pray and we do wish for justice. And when people do something as wicked and as intentionally destructive and evil like the Midianim do, there's a certain joy in seeing that, in seeing them brought to justice. And Hashem says this was out of the kavod for Moshe, who was the leader during that terrible, who's been our leader since we left Egypt, including during that terrible episode at the end of Parshas Balak, when the Jewish men were on, Jewish men running off in mass with the Midianite women. So it was an honor to Moshe to be able to sort of fix that and to go to battle for the Midianim and avenge what they had done to us. What they had done to us, just a few weeks or a few months before. But here's the last answer, and stick with me for 2 or 3 minutes, and I'll share with you the Netziv's idea. Very interesting, takes a different approach. Again, hopefully it'll at least give us something to think about. He quotes actually some of the answers from one of the answers from the Ramban, but then he says as follows, Achein, yesh lahasbir od tam acher. However, I'd like to suggest another reason. And again, the question that he's really dealing with is why was it that Moshe specifically had to be the one to lead the battle against Midian? It's clear from the pasuk that Hashem says, lead the battle, lead the revenge against Midian, and then you'll be ready to die. But until that, you can't, because you need to be the one to do this. Why was it? So the Netziv says, "Ki b'makom shenanshu shvil hachet, a place where you have suffered or been punished or struggled because of a sin, tzarech hishtadlus rav linatzel b'shas hasakana mina onesh. You need extra effort, extra power, extra help from Hashem to be able to be saved from suffering punishment again." In other words, you can think about it in our own lives. There's, it's like we talked about it a little bit this week, even in the Siddur class. Sometimes there's something maybe you know something, a sin or a mistake or a whatever, a decision that we never thought we would have made, and we never, and all, you know, all of a sudden, at some point, we slip up, in whatever it might be, and we're not as careful about something as we should have been or as we used to be. We make a decision, and the first time we struggled with it and we were in shock and we can't believe it or whatever. Small or big, whatever, you know, I'm talking in very general terms. But what the Nitziv is saying is once you struggle, once you suffer, once you trip up in a certain area, so that area, now becomes sort of ripe for more struggle. And it takes a lot of extra work to sort of dig yourself out. Once you've slipped in a certain area, and once you've struggled with a certain decision, or in a certain place, or with a certain person, it only gets harder. And another Sefer Yoshua connection. The Nitziv says, "Umilchemes Ai Yochiach." I'll give you an example: the Battle of Ai. What happened with the Battle of Ai? Very quick review in the Book of Yoshua: the first city that we conquered when we entered the land of Israel was Yericho. Went very well, very easily. It was a miracle. Everything went as planned. Except, Yoshua commanded the people, don't touch any of the spoils. Don't take anything from Yericho. One guy, Achan, pocketed some of it. Hashem became very angry. The next city we were supposed to conquer was Ai. We went to battle with them. We lost. People were killed. We realized that it was because Achan took from the spoils. Achan was tried and Achan was executed. And then we went to battle with Ai again. But this time we didn't just go to battle with Ai. We had this whole complicated plan where we set up an ambush, and we had one group go here and one group go there, and we drew them out of the city and then we ambushed them. It was like our most complicated battle plan of any of the cities that we conquered in the land of Israel. Why did we have to? I mean, Hashem guaranteed us we'd be fine. So why did we need to set up a whole ambush and send thousands of people and have this whole complicated strategy? What the Nitziv says is because once you slip up once in a certain place, once you sin in a certain area, it becomes a lot more difficult. You need to work a lot harder to get out of it than you had to work the first time to stay out of it. But once you start slipping, it's not, of course, it's not impossible. Tshuva is always possible, but it takes a lot more work to get out of it. So his connection here is that Bnei Israel messed up really bad with the Midyanim. I mean, at the end of Parshas Balak, it was bad. Again, we had Jewish men running off with the Midianite women and so, Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos, you know, improper sexual relationships and idol worship. We had two out of the three big ones in one shot. Pretty bad. So this was a difficult hole to dig out of. So as successful as Yoshua was and our other leaders were in our battles in the land of Israel and in leading us in so many ways, but this needed specifically at the end. And it writes, Mishum Hachi, because of this, Haya Nitzrach Shiyya Davka Bechayav Shel Moshe. It needed to be in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. Utfilaso Hayam Megin Harbe. We needed his special tefillah and his special koach to protect us. Mishum Hachi, he's Hira HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shiyahe Bechaya Moshe. Because of this, Hashem warned Moshe and explained to Moshe, this needs to be done in your lifetime. The message that the Nitziv is saying is that if there's an area in your life that you struggle with, that you slipped up in. For Bnei Israel, it was in this case it was the Midianite women who they messed up with. But in everyone's life, it's in your own way, big and small. Whatever you've become less careful about and wish you hadn't, it's very hard to get out of it once you've slipped up. It's human nature. That once you've fallen and once you sort of just give up. And the lesson here is, firstly, that's normal if it feels very, very hard to dig out of it. But it's certainly not impossible. Bnei Israel went to battle with Midian and were very successful. And we defeated them and we headed towards Eretz Israel and that part of it was behind us. But we needed Moshe Rabbeinu. We needed Moshe's special koach and leadership. We needed him to help us. Even Yoshua might not have been able to do that. We needed specifically Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to do that. Because again, digging yourselves out of a place or out of a situation that you've struggled with in the past can become very difficult. And that's why Hashem says, at least according to the Nitziv, to Moshe, let's go deal with this issue of the Midyanim, where we messed up so badly. Achar teyaseif al amecha. And after that, obviously, wish Moshe Rabbeinu could have lived forever, but his time was coming. But after that, we need you to deal with this issue first. Pull us out of this ditch, get us back on a level playing field, and then Yahushua can take over. So those areas of our own lives, wherever it is that we feel like we might have fallen in a ditch, it could be last week, last month, or 10 years ago, but some area where we're feeling a little bit lower than we should be or than we wish we could have been. It's hard to climb out, but we can do a little extra tefillah, a little extra hard work, a little extra tshuva, and we can get ourselves pretty quickly back onto level playing field where we should be, and then it only gets easier from there. It's easy to keep going once you're back on ground level. That's my thoughts for this week.